What do one of the world's top food cities, a nationally celebrated zoo and science museum, and a Condé Nast Traveler Top 10 Best Big City in the Country have in common? Yes, it's Columbus. This isn't just a stop on the map. It's where award-winning flavors, unforgettable family moments, and big city buzz come together. Let's be honest, Columbus is turning heads. For top-of-the-line discoveries in your own backyard, visit experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Happy Monday. Fantasy Sports Today is live on Sports Grid for the next 2 hours. I'm Craig Mish. We've got Joe Pizzapia here every day, noon to 2 Eastern, right here on SportsGrid and SportsGrid.com. It was a big upset Sunday in the NFL. A couple of massive favorites go down. Certainly more injuries to get to here on the show as well. And Joe, for the first time in a while, we got a massive running back performance out of a player that was taken in the top five. So go figure that. It's only happened a couple times this year. But finally, somebody in fantasy football that was taken high led people to a win this week, and that's where we'll start today. You get 50 fantasy points from a player you're supposed to win, Joe, and finally, it happened.
Yeah, show me the screenshot of the Dalvin Cook lineup that lost. Oh, God, I can't imagine what went wrong there, but it was a great game for Dalvin Cook, and I actually got to watch four quarters of that one. I wanted to be watching the Steelers and Ravens, but I had to be going back and forth with NFL Network on that one, but great performance, obviously, from Dalvin Cook. And the Vikings saying, hey, we're not done yet. Don't dismiss us, although many people are. But it was interesting Sunday because some teams kind of came back to the pack. Some teams kind of basically showed, hey, we're not dead yet. And a few other teams, I think, are looking right now where you're saying maybe we're starting to separate a little bit ourselves from the rest of the division. And I think that was what week eight, for me at least, seemed to be about.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, very exciting finishes in a couple of games. In particular, the Chargers-Broncos game, I think, had the finish of the year in an NFL game thus far. Not a lot of people were probably watching that game, but the end was really spectacular. Okay, let's dive into it here on this Monday. First and foremost, let's get to the good news. Dalvin Cook and the Vikings running all over the Packers in probably one of the bigger upsets of the season. Not the biggest, but one of the bigger, that's for sure. You're laying seven and you lose outright and the game's not particularly close. It's a pretty big upset. Cook had a monster game, best game of his career. Dolphins win Tua's debut versus the Rams, and he really didn't have to do much. Miami's defense is playing out of this world. Mm-hmm. They really just stepped on the Rams from start to finish. Very surprising that that's the way it went down. We'll have to see how Miami plays moving forward, too, because basically, unless their defense gives them a win, their offense did not look very good. Bengals shock the Titans behind Joe Burrow, Bernard, and Boyd. The triple Bs going forward. Maybe you don't need Joe Mixon. Maybe you just need Joe Burrow to be throwing the ball all around the field. By the way, the other part of this too, the Bengals defense played very well. Like the offense didn't anything for almost three quarters. The Bengals defense showed up somehow. I mean, without three offensive linemen starting, really incredible. Patriots played great, by the way, also against Buffalo, and were so close to not only winning that game, but a fumble away from tying it and maybe winning it overtime. But unfortunately for Cam Newton, he fumbles. Patriots are now clearly in big trouble. But look, they did play very well, I thought, in that game. And as we mentioned, Drew Lock leads the team down the field in the end, throws a ball in the back of the end zone. There's pass interference. And then they end up winning. And the Chargers, Joe, are the gift that keeps on giving. I understand that Atlanta is known as like the choke team and the king of chokers. Mm-hmm. I gotta tell you, nobody has liked the Chargers through the years. The Chargers are the worst betting favorite, not named the Cowboys, in the last 10 years. They can't put games away. And you know, I'd love to blame the coach. You know, it's very easy to do that. But I mean, it's staggering how many, I mean, 4 14-point leads blown already. We're only halfway through the season. And look, Denver's not a good team. They're not an average team. They're a poor team. But they found a way to win in the last play of the game in that one.
Yeah, they did. And what's so staggering about the Chargers, too, is defensively, they have some talent. I mean, it's not like they're bereft of talent. Individual players on that Charger defense would be coveted by many, many teams in the NFL. So it's just kind of bizarre to me. I don't know if it's, you know, one of these things where it creeps into your psyche as a team where you have leads and you blow them. But it's very frustrating because Herbert's doing everything he can. I mean, Herbert is right in that mix, obviously, for Rookie of the Year. He's played out of his mind. But it's troubling because where are the Chargers? They should be winning these games. Herbert's putting up good offensive performances. The offense is scoring 30 points. You need to win games where you score 30 points. It is wretched. And I know Denver is a tough place to go in and play, but still, this is a pattern, as you're saying. It's a very frustrating one for the Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is you're up 24-3 in the fourth quarter on any team you should be winning. And that's basically terrible. Something the terrible. Chargers have a history of doing is not winning those games of being up. So that was a big takeaway, of course. Also, unfortunately, there is a ton of COVID news today in the NFL, and we're going to have to keep an eye on it because things seem to be spiking everywhere in the country. And a couple of players, according to NFL Network, ended up playing while positive for the virus. So you may ask yourself how this is happening. No one really knows the answer, but apparently, according to NFL Network, they take these tests and they don't get their results back until mid-game or after the game. So it just goes to show you that the NFL it just goes to show you that the NFL is just as clueless as everybody else with trying to manage this. And AJ Dillon is one player who's not going to play Thursday night for the Packers. They're down to just Jamal Williams, and Humphrey, the cornerback on the Ravens, also tested positive for COVID. I believe he's on the Ravens, if I'm not mistaken. And the Ravens have so many injuries coming out of that game against Pittsburgh. And that is definitely a team to keep an eye on moving forward. All right, we got our fantasy standouts coming up next. We'll go through all the highlights, who did what, so make sure you stay tuned to that. Also, don't forget, coming up a little bit later in the show, we go through every single score and every single player in fantasy and talk about who did what and potentially who you can count on moving forward. So stay tuned. Plenty more to come here on Fantasy Sports Today. Follow us on Twitter at SportsGrid. Learn all about our programming 24/7, not only on SportsGrid, but also on SportsGrid Radio. You can follow us there as well. You can follow me on Twitter at Craig Mish. Follow Joe on Twitter at JoePizzaPS17. And we will take a quick break right here on FFT. So make sure you stay on the grid and stay tuned. Our fantasy standouts are next. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back. It's Fantasy Sports Today, SportsGrid and SportsGrid.com. Great to be with you here on this Monday. Monday Night Football coming up a little bit later as the Buccaneers take on the New York Giants. Not the sexiest game of all, but hey, it's Tom Brady, so that should be a little bit of fun. The line has now creeped up to about 12.5. I know in the Super Contest it was a lot less than that, but not a lot of faith in the Giants for sure. Big numbers don't always cover, as we found out this week. A couple of big spreads going down in flames. Titans on the road, big favorite. Packers, big favorite, didn't win that game outright. One team that did win, however, although it was kind of back and forth, a little close. Jets kept kicking those field goals. Maybe if they would have scored a touchdown or two, they could have covered. Jets at Kansas City. Let's take a look at our fantasy standouts from Week 8 in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes, 31 of 42, 416 passing yards and 5 touchdowns in this game. Did a good job of spreading it around, too. Hardman, Hill, Kelsey, Robinson, everybody getting involved. Russell Wilson, at this point, I'm going to guess, is the favorite for the MVP. We've shifted around here a little bit, quite a bit. Josh Allen maybe on the outside looking in, Wilson on the inside looking out, I would guess, at this point. 27 of 37, 261 and 4 touchdowns. This game was DK Metcalf's, which we'll talk about here in just a second. Dalvin Cook, best running back day of the year, I would say. 30 carries, 163 rushing yards, 2 receptions, 63 receiving yards, and then you see the big number there, 4 touchdowns. Biggest game of the year for a running back for sure. Derrick Henry had a slow first half, picked it up in the second half. It was too little, too late. 18-1-12 and a touchdown for him. Still a good game. DK Metcalf moving his way up into, I don't even know where in the first round next year. 12 receptions, 161 receiving yards, and 2 touchdowns. The guy's unstoppable. And so is Devontae Adams, who may end up leading the NFL in touchdowns this year. How about that? 7 receptions, 53 yards, and 3 touchdowns for him in a losing effort against Minnesota. So I guess we can start with Minnesota here for a minute, Joe, because bigger than the upset, of course, is the fantasy ramifications at this point. What in the world has happened to the Packers' run defense that was so good a year ago? They're almost like, I thought Houston was supposed to have the worst defense in the NFL, but what has happened to the Packers where they can't stop anyone at this point? I mean, Minnesota, Joe, did nothing in this game but just hand the ball off to Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, look, we talked about this at length on the Fantasy Pros podcast, Mike Tagliere and myself. We were talking about what a smash game this would be for Dalvin Cook against Green Bay. But I don't think either one of us thought it was going to be this good. I mean, it was crazy. And he looked so good out there doing it, too. It was great to see him healthy coming off of that groin injury. And he took a shot early in this game, too, and he left the field. And there was a moment where I think everybody just kind of collectively went, oh, no, here we go again. And he came back in it 2 plays later. And the rest is history, as they say. But it was fascinating, this game in general, because the first half of this game, there were only 4 total possessions. 5, if you really count that last one, that was about 30 seconds there for the Packers. But all 4 of them basically resulted in touchdowns. It was so weird. It's basically like they had all these long, extended drives on both sides, and it was Dalvin Cook scoring a touchdown, and then Devontae Adams scoring a touchdown, and they're going back and forth. It was like watching a heavyweight boxing match or something like that in fantasy. Then you're talking about DK Metcalf, and you raise a great question, and I was having this conversation just yesterday, too, which is, where is DK Metcalf in terms of value next year? And I think you can make an argument based on his age, based on the quarterback, based on the consistency of the game log this year, that he could be the number one wide receiver in fantasy next year. And that's not a hot take. It's not a crazy thing. Maybe we'll bring it back for tomorrow and talk more about it. But it feels like with Michael Thomas missing time this year, it's going to always knock him down a peg in people's minds. Devontae Adams, very good wide receiver, but does miss some time in there as well. They're all in that mix. Julio's going to be in that mix. But Craig, it's hard to deny what DK Metcalf is doing. And the times where you do double him, those are the 2 games where Tyler Lockett has had 3 touchdowns in both of those games, where you try to just stop DK Metcalf. All of a sudden, then Tyler Lockett has a huge game. And it's fascinating to watch back and forth. But it feels right now that kid is just scratching the surface of what is an enormous talent and what could be a huge career in the NFL for years to come.
Yeah, and listen, I watched him play a ton in college. I always thought he was a good player, but he is a very, I mean, not a rare example. There are some in the NFL, but he is an example of a player that's better in the NFL than college, where you don't see it coming, and maybe it's because of the quarterback that he had for a few years there. But regardless of that, Metcalf has been a star among stars in the NFL. I think it is a fair point. Have to see the final 8 games play out. Michael Thomas could end up having 200 yards a game. That could change the opinion again. And by the way, Michael Thomas could be somewhere else. Let's not forget Hopkins. Hopkins could have a phenomenal second half. And a lot of things could happen. But at this stage, if you said moving forward, as of right now, for the rest of the season, you could only have 1 wide receiver in the NFL, it would be him. So that's,
I mean, and in fantasy, when you're talking about dynasty leagues too, Craig, I mean, let's touch on the long-term ramifications too. All the guys you just mentioned are all fantastic and all should be considered in that conversation as number one. But who is the brightest three-year window coming up? And it's hard not to say DK Metcalf with Russell Wilson, with how bad that defense has played too. I mean, that's been a lot of it too. The bad Seattle defense has really forced them to continue to throw the ball. The injuries they've had at running back, it's been the perfect storm for DK Metcalf. But he's just a matchup nightmare. And guy's just a freak in terms of the size, the athleticism, the speed, all those things. I mean, it's like watching Julio or watching these guys when they first come in there, or when Calvin Johnson was first coming on the field. You're like, how do you stop this guy? So I'm thinking down the future too, in terms of three-year window wide receivers, I don't know if there's a better one. Maybe Michael Thomas, but yeah, that's a maybe because we don't know where Drew Brees is going to be 2 years from now.
Yeah, all those things, you know, sort of have to play themselves out. You know, let's also not lose sight of the fact that also Seattle has struggled to run the ball at all. So they have a lot of nice names, and they give the guys the ball in the 1 yard line and they score a lot, like Carson or Homer, or your yesterday was DJ Dallas, but they don't have a strong Lynch-ish running back. And so they end up throwing the ball so much that really favors in as well. And that happens on some teams. So I think that's definitely part of the equation. In terms of the biggest surprise yesterday, as far as fantasy output, Joe, I mean, when I looked at it yesterday, there were a couple of games that I thought were going to be, you know, super high scoring. But I guess weather seemed to be somewhat of a factor in those games as well. So in particular, the Raiders ended up beating the Browns, and it just looked like it was really hard to throw in that game. And then also in Cincinnati, where the Bengals, as I said, the Bengals defense played great. I don't know. I mean, maybe it just was a matter of Tennessee not playing well, but really neither team between Cincinnati and Tennessee lit it up. But the Bengals definitely played the better all-around game in that one, for sure.
Well, they absolutely did. And I wonder if the Titans were sleepwalking a little bit. You know, they had some big matchups here the last few weeks. The Steelers, a few other matchups, like really big-time games for them. And this could have been seen as that letdown game, and basically it was. Also, another missed field goal there from Gostkowski. I don't know how they continue. And, you know, you want to give a guy a pass in tough weather situations, but geez. And you talk about tough weather. I mean, 46-mile-an-hour winds in that Cleveland game. I mean, that was just terrible conditions to play a football game in there. And that's why you had the Hunter Renfro showing up there and a couple other things. And basically the Cleveland offense and all the good momentum that they had last week with Baker Mayfield having this great game all went in the toilet, and that's kind of frustrating too. But good on Joe Burrow. You know, I'm with you. I was very disappointed in terms of total. I was looking for that Cincinnati-Tennessee game to be much better than it was on both sides, but unfortunately, it was more the Cincinnati end of it. So if you had that, it was great. Another good game from Tyler Boyd. But I'm going to say this. Joe Burrow, when you watch that guy play, it's hard not to think that Cincinnati's got a really bright future here. He makes some plays and makes some throws where you go, yeah, that's it. That's what a franchise quarterback looks like. And it's exciting. It almost feels like we're going through a quarterback renaissance here where we had all these great Hall of Famers, and now we're starting to pass off here to Burrow, to Herbert. I mean, Tua getting the start here. You have Mahomes playing out of his mind. And let's not forget Mahomes in the MVP conversation. I feel like all we do is talk about Wilson, and that's fair. But I feel like Mahomes is starting to hear that noise a little bit. And yesterday was certainly a nice lineup, a builder for the resume, wouldn't you say, with the 5 touchdowns? I mean, it looked like when you go out there and you play the adults against the teenagers in one of those pickup football games in Thanksgiving, that's what it kind of looked at. We just kind of running routes, and then you're kind of stuffing it in their face, and you're like, you know, you're carrying off your cousins in there. You're like, hey, look at us. All right, let's go eat. That's basically what it felt like watching that football game for the most part.
Yeah, the Jets are definitely resume building games, it looks like, this year, for sure. although the Jets, again, like I really, their game plan is so horrible. Like they're just planning to kick field goals all day long, not going for it. Like you're 0-7 and still kicking field goals. Like,
what do you got to lose? I'm with you. I mean, the first half I understood by trying to kick the field goals, but at a certain point in the second half, don't just let it all hang out.
They kick 6 or 5? This is horrible.
I was something like that. It was nuts.
Three? I mean, I don't know. Just way too many.
They had nine. No, they only made 3.
Oh, they had 3.
I think they missed 1. I could be wrong. I had to go check that.
All right. One of the great games of the day lived up to the billing. Pittsburgh and Baltimore. We'll go through our fantasy standouts from that game coming up. That's right after Chris's update. Make sure you stay tuned. We are back on the grid here on Fantasy Sports Today in just 2 minutes. Bye-bye.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, welcome back. Fantasy Sports Today, one of the best games of the day, without a doubt, lived up to the billing. Pittsburgh and Baltimore. Whenever these two teams play, it goes right down to the wire, right down to the end, and it did again on Sunday. So let's take a look at the fantasy standouts from this game. The undefeated Steelers, who were in a position right now to at the very least win their division, at the very most maybe even get to the Super Bowl. Who knows? Great bet before the season. Ben Roethlisberger, 21-32, 187 passing yards and two touchdowns, doing just enough to win. James Conner didn't really need to do much, but again, the Ravens' defense is still mostly healthy. 15 carries, 47 rushing yards, three receptions, 13 receiving yards, and a touchdown. Chase Claypool back in a big way. Five receptions, 42 yards, a touchdown. He was targeted a bunch in this game. Eric Ebron also getting involved with the receptions and the touchdowns. And Juju Smith-Schuster, Mr. Second Half, seven receptions and 67 yards for him. And so a very good performance overall by the Steelers. They had a couple of big turnovers in this game, especially a late interception from Lamar Jackson, also an early interception for Lamar Jackson. Speaking of Lamar, his numbers, probably the worst game of the season for him. 13 of 28, 202 passing yards, 65 rush yards, two touchdowns. But if you lose points for picks in your league, you got hurt by this. He had two interceptions in this game. Mark Ingram, even after the bye, not healthy. So J.K. Dobbins took over. But the Ravens rushed for almost 300 yards on the ground. They still couldn't win. It's amazing. J.K. Dobbins, 15 carries, 113, looked great. Gus Edwards, 16 for 87. He got the goal line carry, so he scored. Willie Snead, 5 for 106. Miles Boykin, 2 for 20 and a touchdown. And Hollywood Brown ended up getting one as well, but he's not been much of a factor for the Ravens. So, Joe, the Steelers just keep on cruising here. Mm-hmm. And different guys at wide receiver, basically getting in on the action every single week. That was the way it's been playing out, and it seems like that's the way it's going to play out the rest of the season. Very tough team to predict who is going to get their touchdowns and yards, but forever, it's basically like the Steelers are playing the matchups, it seems like, at this point. They're doing a great job of that.
They really are. And Deontay Johnson's start in this game came out early, and you could set your watch to it. If he's not in, Chase Claypool is a huge deal. And it is just another touchdown, a good performance from him there. He got you about 16 points or so in full point PPR. Good day for him. It was a pretty balanced attack, it seemed like, from the Steelers. And you're right, they do play matchups, and that's what good teams do. They take advantage of those matchups when they have. The defense played well, too. They got some pressure on Lamar Jackson in this game. And you're right. I mean, they did run the football effectively, which was the identity of this football team last year, and it's something they've struggled with this year. I know we're going to get into a little bit more tomorrow. I've got some stats lined up here with Dobbins because I think we have to talk about where things go from here, whether or not Ingram really, when he's healthy, gets back into this mix or not, because I think it might be time to see what Dobbins is, for better or for worse, because this was a good game for him. Gus Edwards carried the ball quite a bit too. Lamar's always going to get his. But no, not a good game for Lamar Jackson. But at the same time, they had an opportunity here. This game was theirs at the end. So it's frustrating. You feel, I think, if you're Baltimore, that you had a good run here. You had a chance to win this football game. But it's tough when you lose big games at home to AFC opponents, because now, basically, there's no way I think Baltimore can get that bye. No matter how well they play the rest of the year, it's going to either go to Pittsburgh or it's going to go to Kansas City. That's that lone bye that's so important for so many teams there. And a huge loss, too, losing Stanley here for the year, too, that big lineman, that tackle that now they just signed to that extension. So that's going to hurt them as well. So this was a loss, and then compounded by losing a big offensive lineman as well.
Yeah, I thought Pittsburgh just hung in long enough to just take the lead at the end, and then they stopped Lamar Jackson in the end, which was really impressive there. So all the kudos to Pittsburgh for sure. They keep winning. They keep covering, too, making people a lot of money this year. Okay, Pittsburgh and Green Bay. The Packers were 6.5-point favorites in this one. it looked like the wrong team was favored in this one, just based on the running game. Kirk Cousins only threw 14 passes total in this game, 160 and a touchdown. And it was to Dalvin Cook, who had 163 yards on the ground, also had a receiving touchdown in this one. As I mentioned earlier in the show, I believe he had the most fantasy points of anybody in fantasy football this year. I believe he hit 50. Adam Thielen, 3 receptions, 27 yards, nothing to speak about. Justin Jefferson, same, 3 receptions, 26 yards for him. So bust in terms of the wide receivers. Now, over to the Green Bay Packers, things actually worked out okay, even in a loss, because they had to come back. 27-41, 291, and 3 touchdowns for Aaron Rodgers, so he was perfectly fine. Jamal Williams didn't score, but you could see that he still got something there. 16 carries, 75 yards. Adams picked up 3 touchdowns on the day. And Robert Tonyan, 5 receptions, 79 yards, as he continues to play well. They simply put, still don't really have a secondary option, but Tonyan has been the best of all of the names thus far this season, and really the only one to even consider starting outside of Adams.
Yeah, I would agree with that too. I mean, Jamal Williams has played well in the stead for Aaron Jones, but whenever Aaron Jones is healthy, you'd imagine he'd go back to being the backup role there. But what's kind of misleading about this Aaron Rodgers line is he had about just 200 yards passing with about a couple minutes left in this game, and then obviously things opened up. So the Aaron Rodgers line was far less impressive until, I would say, the last 5 minutes of this game, and then he added the other touchdown, the third touchdown there for Devontae Adams. But it just was weird. It was just, it seemed like the team that had urgency was the team that only had the one win, and they came out knowing that this was basically their season and just got kind of like a restart for them in a lot of ways. You know, they played them week one, they got trashed in their own building. So they had the bye. They came back and said, hey, this is it. This is our chance for redemption. They took it. And Green Bay just never seemed to get going here. I mean, this is so weird because it felt like Green Bay was just kind of pacing through. It was tied at the half. And then all of a sudden, the second half, Minnesota just took over, and it was kind of a weird laissez-faire attitude with Aaron Rodgers. They really didn't have a sense of urgency up on the line, even late in this game where it felt like, hey, get up to the line, let's run some plays here. You don't have a lot of time left here. It was kind of a strange end to this game for me, but a great win here for Minnesota regardless, and a great performance by Dalvin Cook for sure.
Yeah, the running game is very crucial now. Got to start finding who Green Bay plays and play the running back against them, even if it's not a viable guy. It looks like it at this point. All right, Dolphins and Rams, a very interesting start to this game for sure. As the Rams get the ball, they get a quick turnover on Tua, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, this is not going to go well. And honestly, it really wasn't great for Tua. It was just the Dolphins' defense showed up in a big way against the Rams. Let's start off with Miami stats. Tua, in his first start, ironically, looks a lot like the other guys who made their first starts. We went through this last week. It's just, it's usually not great at the beginning. He didn't run a lot. And they were up a lot, and they didn't ask him to do too much. So Miami is definitely a team that I'm interested in seeing moving forward. They're going to have to get more from the offense for sure. Gaskin, 18 carries, 47 yards. He rushed for a touchdown, also fumbled once in the game if you lose points for that. Parker only had 1 touchdown, but it was a big one. It was the first for Tua. And the Dolphins defense special teams gets a mention here because they scored twice against the Rams, and I would guess that nobody played the Dolphins defense going into this game on Sunday. Los Angeles Rams, Jared Goff, a ridiculous, disgusting 61 passes thrown in this game because they were just behind the entire game, 355 passing yards. It's very misleading, the numbers, but I suppose in fantasy, it doesn't matter. You just take what you get. 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions, also fumble. Malcolm Brown was the leading ball carrier for the Rams because Daryl Henderson got hurt. So that's something we'll have to monitor. Cam Akers did finally play a little bit in this game, but not enough to make a difference between Brown and Akers. Cooper Kupp, 11 receptions, 110. So he was their big winner there. Also, Robert Woods, 2 more touchdowns for him and a rushing touchdown. Very solid wide receiver, too, across the board. Mm-hmm. And then Gerald Everett got some action in this one. 5 receptions, 32 yards for them. So, look, I mean, Joe, this is just like the perfect storm probably for Miami. They get a team traveling cross country. They got all this mojo with their new quarterback. The new young quarterback doesn't really do very much. The defense comes up. The special teams comes up. And if you were to guess, and the Dolphins ran a punt return back for a touchdown in this game, if you were to guess how many punt returns for touchdowns there have been in the NFL this season, how many would you guess?
Punt return 3?
That was the only one in the NFL this season yesterday.
Really? Wow. The only one. And look, Jakeem Grant is amazing. He's fun to watch. And you know that if you do not get a hand on that guy and on that one return, like I think they barely got one hand on him. That's it. Like he is just going to burn right by you. He did it a couple times last year, if memory serves, too. I mean, this guy is, he's ferociously fast, man. You got to watch out for that dude. But look, the defense played great. They put a ton of pressure on Jared Goff. And Goff has the reputation of if you get to him and you get to him early and you knock him down, then good things are going to happen. They did this game. Not only did he turn the ball over, but he starts to basically, you know, see the ghosts and start to, you know, make some bad throws. And I understand you look at the line, you say, oh, it's a lot of yards and stuff like that. But continuously for me, the only guy that I trust in this Rams offense right now is Robert Woods. That's it. That's because Robert Woods makes his own. You get Robert Woods the ball, he finds an extra 10 yards somewhere. That seems to be what he does with those yards after catch. And that is something you feel good about in fantasy. But the rest of this Rams team, I mean, every week we sit here and we know who they are. Now watch, next week the Rams will go out there and they'll smash somebody and they'll look great again. And you don't know.
At least you're finally realizing this. You're finally coming around on this.
Yeah, okay, well, good. You know what? What happened was I got lulled into a false sense of security where they played two good games in a row and I went, okay, maybe they're starting to roll. No, they're not. But look, great job here by the Miami defense, no doubt about that. They look more like the Buffalo defense of this division than the Buffalo defense in times in this game, too. They created turnovers. They played physical. They got to the quarterback. Look, it was just all around a really good performance there. You could tell the excitement out there, I think, on the field from these guys. And, you know, Tua did have his first touchdown. I think that you got to expect more, like you're saying, from this offense going forward and from Tua. So what's your expectation going forward? Do you believe that they will kind of, I don't know, open things up a little bit for him a little bit, maybe let the play call and go a little bit more? Or is this just a matter of maybe this is what the identity is? You play defense and you let Tua kind of slowly, I don't know, get involved. I mean, he's Tua. Isn't this going to be better here going forward? Like, this was kind of, I mean, I was expecting 150 yards, 90. That's not going to get the job done, Craig.
Yeah, and I think that yesterday's Dolphins-Rams game is a really good lesson in the NFL this is a week-to-week league. This is not a season-to-season league, meaning that I would not take a lot out of Miami yesterday. I would not take a lot out of the Rams. I could easily go back on the Rams train and easily fade the Dolphins going into next week based on what I saw there. So my feeling is Miami played fantastic defensively. They were fortunate to get some special teams touchdowns, but they were clearly energized by having their franchise quarterback there. So I get all those things. But I could not sit here and tell you that looking at the early lines for next week, that I love Miami plus 4.5 at the Cardinals, because that would not be the case. I think that there's going to be some pullback. There has to be. Tua played well enough to win, but can't play like that and win in the NFL every week. No way. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Kansas City Chiefs, as nearly 20-point favorites, got the job done against the New York Jets, but it wasn't that easy. The Jets' offense did move the ball a little bit up and down the field, opting to kick field goals as opposed to going for touchdowns, and that is the recipe for a cover in the NFL. Just ask the Denver Broncos. They love their field goals. They certainly do. All right, Kansas City, let's take a look at the Chiefs. And look, you could have basically just taken the entire Chiefs roster, played them on your fantasy roster on Sunday, and won. That was really the way that Mahomes did a great job spreading the ball around. 31 of 42, 416, and 5 touchdown passes. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 6 carries, 21 yards. Not much for Helaire in this game, unfortunately. But Kelce scored, Hill scored, Hardman scored, DeMarcus Robinson scored. Kelce with 8 catches, Hill with 4 catches, Hardman with 7 catches. I saw Hardman get hurt in this game. I don't know how serious it was, but he's another one I can't figure out. I got him on when I play him. He doesn't do anything. When I don't, he scores. He's a nightmare for me this year. And DeMarcus Robinson, 4 receptions, 63 yards. Actually, DeMarcus Robinson may be very interesting this week, because if Watkins is out and Hardman is out, I would assume that it would be Robinson, but they probably have some other guy in Kansas City. Maybe Dante Hall will come back and play. I don't know, but I can't seem to get a bead on what the Chiefs are doing, because Mahomes mixes it up so much. He's very hard to gauge. All right, Jets in 30 seconds or less. Let's devote it to them. Sam Darnold, 18 of 30, 133. Frank Gore, my guy Frank Gore, 10 carries, 30 yards. I don't know why P. Ryan didn't play a little more in this game. Didn't make sense to me. Braxton Berrios actually got 11 fantasy points yesterday. And then Denzel Mims right out of the gate in the first half. 2 catches, 42 yards, nothing. Second half, oh well. But Chiefs, Joe, is really, really tough, because outside of Mahomes, and Kelsey. I mean, even Tyreek Hill sometimes
Kelsey goes up and down game log. I mean, he had 3 for 30 2 weeks ago in a game where he should have had a great, great game potentially.
Yeah, but given the nature of the season, you still have to play all these guys. Like, it's not a matter of most people don't have the choice to make. If you have Kelsey, it's like, oh, let me sit him and play.
No, of course not.
Dalton Schultz.
No, of course not.
You can't do it. You got to play him. And the same thing with Hilaire. But it is maddening to try and figure out who Mahomes is going to give a touchdown to. It's really what it comes down to. It's like, oh, who do I like? Who do I want to throw one to today? It almost feels like that. Five different guys.
Yeah, and look, it just was that easy for him in this game. And Robinson, you almost could smell that Robinson touchdown with Watkins out of this game. It just seems to be every time he's out, Robinson gets a touchdown in there. And Tyreek Hill looked like it was just, I mean, most teams don't have an answer for Tyreek Hill, but the Jets certainly did not have an answer for him. And it just looks so easy at times for those two guys. But no Le'Veon Bell touchdown. Everybody had a touchdown, but no Lev Bell.
Yeah, that's true.
Revenge
that's true. I forgot about that.
He had six carries for 7 yards. That's why you forgot about him, because he did un guts in this game, as my people would say. He's nowhere to be found, basically. So much for that. And this was a disappointing game for Hilaire. I mean, basically, Hilaire has been okay this year. He was great in the first game. He was great in that Buffalo game. Outside of that, it's been pretty mediocre, so I kind of wonder if those people who had him in that very first game where it was just an incredible performance, if you did sell him, if you were probably looking at it going, hey, wow, look, I cashed in for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but then again, nobody's healthy, so who knows where that is at. But it's certainly something next year that's very difficult. And before we move on, it is difficult in daily fantasy too, because on FanDuel, it's a point that we made on game day. It's very difficult. You can run Mahomes out there himself, but he's always around 9,000 on FanDuel. That's a very tough sell. You can run him out there with Kelsey, but Kelsey's been up and down. You can run him out there with Tyreek Hill, but it can't be a cash game play because Tyreek Hill sometimes doesn't have a lot of reception. So it becomes very, very tricky with the Chiefs because they're so damn good. It just becomes really unpredictable, and that's a problem in terms of daily fantasy investment.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. And look, the Chiefs are amazing offensively, but hard to predict. Very similar to the Steelers. The Steelers aren't as good as Kansas City, but they've been just as difficult to predict.
It's a good equation.
James Washington 1 week. It's like Johnson had the good week. Was it last week or the week before? Look, every 3 weeks, it's like they just rotate stars, and it's difficult. All right, so for Cincinnati, it's pretty clear cut as far as what they're trying to do moving forward. It's give the ball to Bernard and let Joe Burrow do the rest. Bernard, I think, has earned more of a role in this one. I am shocked to see how well he's played the last 2 weeks. 15 carries, 62 rushing yards and a touchdown. 3 receptions, 16 yards and a touchdown. Talk about turning back the clock. This I did not see. T. Higgins, 6 for 78, very solid there. Tyler Boyd, 6 receptions, 67 yards and a touchdown. And then Auden Tate, 7 receptions, 65 yards. I was actually surprised that in a game where you could have built up a little bit of value for Green that they chose not to do it. I think that's the end of his career in Cincinnati. I think he'll get moved tomorrow. Let's go over to Tennessee. This was a very big disappointment for the Titans because every number you see here was second half. Like literally Tannehill, 2 fantasy points at the half. Corey Davis, 0 at the half. Brown, 0 at the half. Henry, 4 at the half. And Tennessee is very lucky that Cincinnati almost gave them the game back a couple times. And you credit a team for being aggressive because we all want that in the NFL. But Cincinnati was a little too aggressive in this game in the third and fourth quarter, just constantly throwing. And Burrow got picked off one time and they fumbled one time. I don't know what they were doing there. They had the game won. Tannehill in the end got you about 15 fantasy points, but he did not look good. Derrick Henry was bailed out with a touchdown in this game. He didn't look good either in the first half. It's bizarre. Corey Davis, 8 receptions, 128. Second half, just constant garbage time for him. And the same thing with A.J. Brown, 4 receptions, 24 yards. He got bailed out with a touchdown there. So I guess I'll just chalk Tennessee up to just a bad game. I don't know that this is the recipe moving forward. But I will say this. For a team that's supposed to be as good as Tennessee, they play in way too many close games. And losing this game is one thing, but they play in like every game they play. They can't blow anybody out, and teams are coming back on them. So I don't know that I can go as far as to say that I think that they'll go as far as they did last year. They got to clean some things up, and their defense, to me, is bottom 5 in the NFL.
Yeah, defense has not been good this year, and it was a strong suit in the second half of last year into the playoffs, too, which is kind of mind-blogging. And yet again, we talk about it like we talked about the Chargers. There's some personnel here. There's some guys, some really good talent on this defense. They came out flat in this game, and I think they just did not take Cincinnati seriously. And the one thing you could say about Cincinnati, you know, a team that's only going to have a couple wins on the year, They show up. They show up and they give all the effort they can. Now, defensively, they just don't have a lot of talent, which makes it very difficult. But they play pretty well in the first half. They are always ready. Cincinnati always looks like they're ready for the game. I don't know if it's the excitement of Joe Burrow. I don't know if it's the coach or what's going on there. Cincinnati comes to play most weeks. And if they get their doors blown off, it's because they're playing a team that's just outclassing them in terms of talent. But the good takeaways here, obviously T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd. We talked about these guys being matchup proof the rest of the season. You never take them out of lineups, and you shouldn't here. Obviously, you had the touchdown there from Tyler Boyd, which is a good sign. Again, him getting back into the mix after a couple tough weeks there where they were getting some receptions but no touchdowns. Auden Tate, I mean, there was a name I was not prepared again to talk about in fantasy. I'm with you. Why wasn't A.J. Green out there? You would think they'd be building unless it's the opposite, unless they've already been working on a deal and the other team was saying, no, 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 don't run him out there because the last thing you want to do is get him hurt. I don't know. We'll see. This is it. We'll see what happens.
He is very strange. To me, it makes so much sense on every level for him to be gone. They're not going anywhere. He's played enough to show that he still can. I understand a team doesn't even want to take on the price tag for this year. I get it. And that may hinder a deal. But I think he's played himself into a position where some team looks at it. They only got to pay him for half the games the rest of the year. Maybe in eight games he picks up.
Baltimore right now. I mean, a team like Baltimore, I think, is desperate for some better wide receiver play. But I don't know if A.J. Green is an upgrade right now at this point in his career over anybody there.
I don't know that he is, but he is in Green Bay. He is in Green Bay. I think that's really screen.
That's definitely one that we could put out there as well. And I know that Baltimore just brought in Dez Bryant last week. We'll see what's going on there. But look, I'm not worried about the Titans offensively. This was not a good game for Tannehill in the first half. The whole offense collectively kind of went in the tank there. But it's good to see them flip it on in the second half. So it was, I'll give them a pass. Maybe it was a letdown. They went in at halftime, came back with a better game plan. Corey Davis looked fantastic, though. That's another guy, too, that's been up and down. But when he's been healthy and on the field this year, you could see all the things that got us so excited about him when he first got into the league, and it just never has materialized. Terrible quarterback play for most of his career, not to mention some terrible injuries, too. But when he's healthy and on the field with a guy who's playing the position well, Corey Davis is a viable fantasy wide receiver, and it's something to keep in mind going forward into next year too, depending on where he ends up, because he may or may not be with the Titans next year.
Yeah. Well, in terms of trade, I think that we have a lot more in store, and it could come for the team that we're going to talk about next year, because you talk about, or next week, right now, excuse me, a massive, massive win. Yeah. Next week, next year, next minute, people don't
maybe
realize
that's
I
them
do
right now. That's the trade wins.
They don't
right
realize
now,
I do a live television show here. It's just like, you can only hit reject on your phone. I'm like eight times. Trades, upgrades, the Raiders. That's the team. What a massive win for the Raiders yesterday. I don't care if it was ugly or not. It's a game they weren't supposed to win. And the Raiders are right on the doorstep of the playoffs here. Let's look at what they did yesterday. Now, it wasn't much, but a win is a win in this league, that's for sure. 15 of 24, 112 passing yards, 41 rushing yards for Carr. Hard to throw in the game, and a touchdown. Josh Jacobs was much better in this one, although, again, he's still getting a lot of volume. 31, 128. He's had a tough year. Hunter Renfro, four receptions, 26 yards and a touchdown. He caught a touchdown pass. He was on the two and then rolled into the end zone. And then Darren Waller had five receptions for 28 yards. And because of the weather, as we moved to Cleveland, they were not able to do much either. Baker Mayfield, 12 of 25, 122. Kareem Hunt, only 66 rushing yards, two receptions, seven receiving yards. Jarvis Landry was the only receiver even worth noting. Nobody else did anything. And the weather was the factor in this game. Of all the games in the NFL this week that really got hit by it, this was the one. It was snowing. It was raining. It was impossible. But the Raiders are right there, Joe. Like, they are, look, they're above 500. They were above 500 last year. But the Raiders continue to be that team in the NFL that when they're supposed to win, they lose. And when they're supposed to lose, they win. And that played out yesterday.
Yeah, I feel like we're right back where we were last year when we were doing this very show. We were talking about, hey, look at the Raiders. They're right there. They're in this playoff hunt. They could be really good. Now, what's going to happen here in the second half? I don't know. But we are legitimately, they might even be the same record. I'd have to go back and look. But it almost feels like, are they at the same record, basically, that they were last year? And you're like, okay, looks like the Raiders might be doing something here. I don't want to put too much analysis into this game because it was so bizarre. I mean, when you have 46, 50-mile-an-hour winds blowing through there and all the other stuff, I mean, it is very difficult to gauge. What's not going to show up in the box score, too, is that Landry had a touchdown that got called back. Ruggs almost had a touchdown this game, too. So those are two things that, you know, got changed in terms of review. But I would say that the Raiders have set themselves up for success here in the second half of the season. Jacobs playing better in this game is certainly something good to take away. Waller's been good throughout. And Derek Carr, it seems like at least, is playing with a lot more confidence. And this was a tough game here on the road in these kind of conditions. And I think to come away with a victory here is a huge confidence builder for Derek Carr. And I think going forward, he's somebody to keep an eye on in your daily fantasy shares, because I do think he's going to continue to hover somewhere in that low to mid 7K range on FanDuel most weeks. And that becomes a really interesting buy depending on the matchup. And the other side of this one, look, Cleveland just couldn't get anything going. And obviously kicking field goals at the end of this game was mind-blowing to me. How you could think that, I know you're down two scores, but still, I mean, just keep going for it. At this point, you like to say, take some chances. Let's see if you can get in the end zone, because there was no way anybody could kick in this disaster. I don't know. I thought that was a little weird at the end of this game, but then again, who knows?
It was a throwaway game for fantasy. You just kind of saw it early on that there wasn't going to really be much of a shot with it. But look, at the end of the season, we'll look back and you'll see that the Raiders got blown out by Tampa Bay, and you'll see that they beat Cleveland, and Cleveland's still in a fine spot. It was just a coin flip type game when you're playing in those kind of conditions, and neither team is going to really blow you out. So it just really came down to the end for me in that one. All right. Well, coming up next, speaking of coming down to the end, maybe the most exciting game in the NFL this season was played yesterday. Chargers and Broncos. And when you say excitement and put Broncos in that same sentence, you know something really crazy must have happened at the end of that game. Because they literally will lull you to sleep. They almost did, and then they woke you up at the end. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Maybe we shouldn't be surprised anymore with what we see in the NFL and what we see with the Chargers, because yet again, a Sunday where they're a favorite and blow it. And we've been doing this for 10 years, I feel like. Maybe it wasn't Philip Rivers' fault. Maybe it's just wearing that Chargers uniform. I don't know. Let's take a look at the fantasy standouts real quick in our final little segment here before we close out the hour. Herbert, another nice game, although two picks did lead to them losing. Let's be clear on that. Justin Jackson, 17 carries, 89 rushing yards, 3 receptions, 53 yards. The name to watch here, and probably the top pickup in fantasy, is this kid Tremaine Pope, who looked great, looked better than Jackson and Kelly. 10 carries, 67 yards, 5 receptions, 28 yards. Circle his name. We're going to have to talk about him some more. Mike Williams, 5 receptions, 99 yards at a touchdown. Keenan Allen has had big game after big game since Herbert has come in. He's played well, and good. I would say first half for him. Probably has worked his way back into wide receiver 2 conversation. Denver Broncos, in terms of what they did, all second half action. Drew Lock, 26 of 41. Maybe he can build on this. I doubt it, but maybe he can. 248, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick. Lindsey sparked the offense with a long touchdown. Deshaun Hamilton, 4 for 82 and a touchdown. Judy showed up in this one. 4 receptions, 73 yards, and then Noah Fant did a lot of the damage moving the sticks in the second half as well. Look, simply put, Chargers had no business ever losing this game, Joe. Give credit to Denver for coming all the way back. A penalty in the back of the end zone gives them the ball on the 1 yard line with one untimed down. They end up scoring a touchdown and they win the game. Look, the lesson to be learned from this is pretty simple. The Chargers, whenever they're a favorite, just go the other way. Just go the other way. You're gonna win more often than not fading the Chargers as a favorite. Same thing with Dallas. I don't know why they have this propensity for blowing games and blowing leads, but the Chargers are pretty good as a dog. Like, if they're getting 4 or 5 points, they may cover for you or win. Mm-hmm. But what business do they ever have going on the road being a favorite? And I know they should have won the game. I get it. Mm-hmm. But things happen on a week-to-week basis in the NFL, even in last night's game. Philadelphia, bad call. Dallas could have covered in that one too, but Chargers are just a disaster. They really are.
Yeah, they are. I mean, from a fantasy standpoint, hey, at least good games from Allen and Williams. Let's see what happens when Eckler comes back in a few weeks, if he comes back too. But certainly some pickups there, and Justin Jackson with some good fantasy points also. And a KJ Hamler sighting as well in Denver side. Good that.
We'll be back with more fantasy sports today. Our headlines are next. Bounce, bounce, bounce.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
What do one of the world's top food cities, a nationally celebrated zoo and science museum, and a Condé Nast Traveler Top 10 Best Big City in the Country have in common? Yes, it's Columbus. This isn't just a stop on the map. It's where award-winning flavors, unforgettable family moments, and big city buzz come together. Let's be honest, Columbus is turning heads. For top-of-the-line discoveries in your own backyard, visit experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.